Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, well, please let us know. 419-389-0893 is the number to call. 419-389-0893. Or you can email or text us to prayer@yeshome.com. That's prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what's on your heart today, and we will be happy to pray for you. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so you don't need to worry about that. Don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come and lift up our needs, our burdens, our cares, our concerns before you, knowing that you are a good and faithful God, gracious to us, loving, that you care for us and love us, and that your hand is upon us each day to move and with power and might for us, for our good and your glory. And so, Lord, we pray that you would move in the lives of everyone who calls in today with their prayer requests, that they would see your hand at work in them, they would glorify your name because of it, as they see you giving victory and support and help and hope in every situation. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And as always, before we get into our prayer requests, we always like to get into the Word of God. And we've been looking at the life of Abraham. And we are at probably the pivotal moment in his life where God has commanded him to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. If you remember Isaac, he's waited 25 years. God came to him when he was 75 years old. He didn't have any children. Abraham and Sarah were childless. But God promises him a child. So don't worry, you're going to have a child. And so Abraham believes God, trusts in God, says, okay, God says we're going to have a child. We're going to have a child. And 25 years later, it takes 25 years. God keeps promising for 25 years. God keeps telling them, I'm going to give you a child. Finally, the child comes. So this is fulfillment of all of God's promises in Isaac, because God has promised Abraham. He sent him to the promised land. He's promised him that he'll have heirs as numerous as the stars in the sky, that he'll be a great nation. And all of this is bound up in Isaac. You know, anything happens to Isaac, the promises are null and void. So when God calls him to sacrifice Isaac, one, it's had to be a shock just that God would ask him to do that. But two, the death of Isaac represents the death of everything he's lived for, everything he's sacrificed for the last 25 years. Every promise that God has made has been fulfilled in Isaac and now is on the verge of being destroyed. But as we saw at the beginning of the story, when God comes to tell Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac, Abraham takes Isaac and goes up on the mountain, and he tells his servants with him. He says, the boy and I are going up on the mountain to sacrifice, and we will come back to you. Right? He believes even then that they're both coming back. And as they're walking up, Isaac asks him, he says, hey, Dad, we've got the fire, we've got wood. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? And Abraham tells Isaac, God himself will provide the lamb. So even as they're heading up on this mountain, Abraham is believing that God is going to provide. So we're going to pick up the story in verse 9 of chapter 22. It says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So here we have, you know, this chilling moment. I mean, I think that's what we have to call it. Certainly it was a chilling moment for Isaac. There's a reason one of the names of God is the fear of Isaac. They go up, and Abraham is ready. He's ready to sacrifice his son. Now, the whole way, we saw him say, you know, we will come back to you. God will provide the sacrifice. This whole time, he's believing that God will provide for him. God will provide. Even to the point where he's built the altar. He's tied up Isaac. He's placed him on the altar. He's got the wood there for the sacrifice. I mean, he's ready to go. He's got the knife in his hand. He's reaching out his hand. And at some point, you think, well, he's believing God's going to provide, but, you know, it's getting a little late in the day for a provision here. I mean, he has reached out his hand to get ready to plunge the knife into Isaac and kill him, and who knows what's going through Isaac's mind, when the angel of the Lord comes and says, Abraham, Abraham, stops him from doing it. And only then does he see the ram in the thicket. And you got to believe that Abraham was thinking, you know, God will provide. Along the way, he says, God will provide the sacrifice. He's believing that God will provide a substitute for Isaac. But yet he gets to that point where a substitute is kind of needed, and it's not there. What was going through his mind? Well, I think Hebrews chapter 11 gives us some understanding of what Abraham was thinking. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says this, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. What was he thinking? Abraham was thinking that even if he plunged his knife into Isaac and killed him, God would raise him up from the dead. God had made promises. The promises were to be fulfilled in Isaac, as the writer of Hebrews says. Abraham believed that God will fulfill those promises to the point that he was willing to say, you know what, even if I kill Isaac, God will raise him up. God will save him. He'll raise him from the dead. It's a pretty amazing faith that Abraham had. Of course, God does not require Abraham to sacrifice his son. And in fact, God prevents Abraham from doing for him what he would do for us. Because as we know, God does give his one and only son for us. He does give his son as a sacrifice. What he would not permit Abraham to do for him, he does for us. And the faith of Abraham was a faith that said, if I kill Isaac, God will raise him from the dead, is the same faith that we see on the cross, where Jesus goes to the cross knowing, I lay my life down, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back up again. I will die, and on the third day, I will be raised. You notice it's the same faith. Abraham's faith in God at the time of the sacrifice of Isaac is the exact same faith of Jesus on the cross. And of course, this whole incident becomes a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do for us, that which God would not allow us to do for him. You know, later on, God will ban child sacrifice, which is one of the things that makes this thing so jarring, because he bans it and condemns it and calls it a horrible practice. And yet here we see him with Isaac asking Abraham to do this very thing. But God, of course, does not allow him to do it. That's showing a picture. He's saying, all these other religions ask that you sacrifice for me, but I will sacrifice for you. All these pagan religions ask that you sacrifice something for their God. You sacrifice your child. You sacrifice this, that. But I, the true God, will sacrifice for you, for your salvation. I'll do for you what I will not allow you to do for me, or would never ask you to do for me. And what is revealed in all this? One is the heart of God, and two, the faith of Abraham. We see Abraham's love and belief in God is such that he thinks, you know, even if he kills Isaac, God will raise him from the dead and is willing to take that risk. And we see the love of God, who does indeed give his son as a sacrifice for us and raises him up from the dead so that we too can be raised up from the dead. We have faith in him. It's a powerful story, a powerful faith that Abraham had. It's a faith that matches the faith of Jesus, and it is an amazing thing. And yet even at that, it pales in comparison to the love God has for us and his sacrifice for our sins. That's God's love for you. That's his devotion to you, greater than even the devotion of Abraham, which was great. For our prayer request, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. So let's look at our first request. It says, asking for prayer for their daughter facing the possibility of going through a divorce, but praying that they can restore their marriage. Lord, we lift this couple up to you, this marriage up to you. Lord, we know your word says you hate divorce. You hate the pain that it causes people. You know the hurt that is involved. Lord, and we know that your desire is for this marriage to flourish and be a blessing. And so, Lord, we pray that you would intervene into this relationship. Lord, that you would soften their hearts toward one another. Give them gracious and forgiving hearts toward each other. Give them the humility to ask for forgiveness where they need to grant forgiveness where they need to. Lord, bring restoration to this relationship. And through this process, Lord, that you would strengthen it, you would draw them closer together, and Lord, that they would rediscover that deep love for one another as you form the center and core of their marriage. Lord, and as they turn to you, that you would bring healing, hope, restoration, and Lord, that this marriage would become a joy and a blessing to them. We pray that you would do this work in your life, and we pray this in your name. Amen. And this is a follow-up. We had prayed, someone texted in, and we had prayed for this person for their sister who is struggling with pulmonary fibrosis and ended up passing away, looks like Monday. So just asking for prayer for the family and her husband and two daughters. Lord, we do lift this family up to you. Lord, as we were praying for this woman, and Lord, in your wisdom, you've taken her home to be with you. Lord, we thank you for that hope, but we also pray for the family. We know that they're suffering through this loss. It's painful. Lord, we pray for the husband. We pray for the daughters. We know it'll be very difficult for them. Pray for the rest of this family, the sisters and brothers and all the rest. Lord, that they would feel your comfort, your peace in this time, and that, Lord, your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So, Lord, we pray that you would fulfill that promise in their life, that they would experience your comfort and your peace that can only come from you in these times, as you help them and strengthen them, sustain them through this. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. This has been the Prayer Closet. I'm Pastor Tommy Briggs. Remember, if you have a prayer request, you can call our office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 419-389-0893. We'll be happy to pray for you. Somebody here always be willing to do that. You can get your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. And you can always get connected to Live Online Spiritual Coach for an online chat session by going to our website, yeshome.com, clicking on the chat now button. God bless everybody. Have a great day.